Good morning, everybody.
Have an orange light over there in the box?
Yes. Yeah, so we're ready and we're good to go. Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be with the saints here at Liberty this morning. If you would, in your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to take a look at verse number 27. We've used this at least one of the other two times as a starting point for the message. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have this morning to come together to study your word. As we take that time this morning to study your word, may we put aside all preconceived ideas and instead look at your word as it is absolutely pure, absolutely perfect, and that we should just leave it say what it has to say and apply that doctrine to our lives, rightly divided. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. A couple of months back now, we began a study looking at who we are. The world likes to use their own philosophy, which is something that we absolutely should ignore, because the wisdom of man is nothing in comparison to the wisdom that exists in God. In fact, if you just look over, I believe it's a chapter over. Colossians 2, verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. And if it's after the rudiments of the world, notice immediately after that it says it's not after Christ. We do not want to get caught up in the system of the world. The system of the world will let you down absolutely, positively, every single time. Christ will never let us down. Everything that we have in him supersedes everything else. And by looking at this word, we can discover who we are. The world wants to look at who we are, or what they believe the system of the world should operate as. They want to look at it through that philosophy's eyes. They want to look at it in that light. And we don't want to look at it. We want to find out what we've become. And what we've gone over the last two times, and I'm going to read over these, and if I can, just take a second and mention the verse that matches that. It shows us who we were and what we've become in Christ. God's word simply says, one, we're ungodly, Romans 5, 6. We're a sinner, Romans 5, 10. God's enemy, Romans 5, 10. Condemned, Romans 5, 18. We're under death's penalty, Romans 6, 23. We're cursed, Galatians 3, 10. We're dead to sin, Ephesians 2, 1. You want to see what we are? That's who we are. And those are the verses that you can utilize to prove that. That's who we were. But now, the moment you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the moment you've trusted in that finished work and his shed blood, that when he shed blood, it was the perfect sacrifice for sin, that our works have nothing to do with it, it all has to do with him. There is an amazing transformation. And in this, we can find out what it is that we become. Now I'm going to do this quickly. We are crucified with Christ. We are buried with Christ. We are risen with Christ. We're alive with Christ. We're ascended with Christ. We're seated with Christ. We're joint heir with Christ. We are indwelt by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. We are the beloved of God. We are a saint. We are dead to sin. We are under grace. We are eternal, and we are free from condemnation. I believe that's what it took the first 2 weeks. That's what we went over. But those points that we just went over, that's who we are. That's what we become. If you want to find out who we are, look at the verses that exist in the book. The verses are quite clear. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth where? And the life which I now live in light of this should motivate me to allow Christ to work through me. Through his word. We are buried with Christ, risen with him. We are alive. Everything that we have appertains to him. It has nothing to do with me. See, man's philosophy would rather you look at man's wisdom. But as I mentioned just a few moments ago, man's wisdom will let you down absolutely positively every single solitary time. It will. I know from personal experience. There's times I've looked at man's wisdom, and I tried to apply man's wisdom, and guess what it did for me? Failed miserably. I'm going to tell you right now, and I mean this from my heart, if it wasn't for what I have in Christ, I swear I'd go crazy. I'm serious. I'm 60 years old. I'm an old man now. Yeah? Bible teaches in Proverbs we have on average 70 to 80 years. On average. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. Just saw in a magazine recently, this lady was a nun. She still practices. She's 108 years old. I don't want to live that long. I don't. But the world system will leave you down every time. The only thing that keeps me sane is the recognition of what I have in Christ. The church I used to belong to years ago, I remember when I was in my teens, I was constantly worried about what, because I knew it could happen. What would happen if I died? Did I do enough? Well, now I know that answer. No, I didn't. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not afraid. I heard Upton Plessinger say, and this is not going to be exact, but this is what he insinuated. He was not afraid of death. It was the process he wasn't thrilled about. I can honestly say the same thing. I'm not afraid of death. But the older I get, I'm finding more aches and pains than you can possibly imagine. Just ask my wife and daughter. This will make you smile. I was in the garage of the house, reached down and picked up a box. It might have weighed 10 pounds. Went to put it on the shelf like this. This arm quit. I couldn't raise it anymore. I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world's going on? And man, it started hurting and it started grinding. And my brother said, you know, I need a shoulder replacement and I've been holding it off. You might have the same problem. You might want to go get that looked at. And I'm telling you, the bugger still hurts. I don't have that problem. You know what I have in this shoulder? Tennis elbow. But you pick something up and it hurts and it stings like crazy. I lie a certain way in bed and I can't sleep. And this is a minor problem. This is a minor problem. I can't wait for when I really get sick. If it wasn't for what I have in Christ, I would go nuts. But I get comfort from the recognition of knowing the moment that I do quit breathing and my heart says, I've had enough, guess where I am for all of eternity? In the presence of our Lord. And I get to serve Him. How cool is that? Especially when I didn't deserve it. I really didn't. None of us did. Not one of us. This morning, we went over very quickly the points that we went over about what we've become in Christ. There are times I will go over a verse and I will just talk about that verse very briefly and move on to the next point. And that's very difficult for this talkative guy because I like to embellish. But I would really like to try, and if it doesn't get done today and it needs one more time, fine. But I really want to get as many points across because there are a lot. There are so many great things we have in Christ. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the system of the world. There's just so many things that go on and things that you try to do that we forget some of these neat things that we really do have in Christ that are given us freely by His grace. And ow, that just hurt. Tennis elbow in my shoulder. Repetition, doing the same thing over and over again. That's what the doctor explained anyway. Let's see these really, really cool things that we have in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me get a pen. Remind me to erase the board when I'm done, because I don't want that thing to become permanently affixed to your board. That's a neat board we have behind us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Two things that are written there. Two things. Number one, we were called. In the message of the mystery, but when the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got to be called the called of God. God chose you through the mystery. Now, that doesn't mean that God came down to Eddie and say, Eddie, I want you to go and find out that you are a sinner. I want you to go find out. Eddie had to believe that stuff on his own. He had to have that word of God given to him, and he had to believe it. God doesn't come down like some faiths believe, that God picks and chooses who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. That's not how it works. God's not a puppeteer. God called Ed, but he did it through the gospel. You got called. And you're also in fellowship. When you're in fellowship, that means your camaraderie. You have your pals. You get along well one with another. I'm in fellowship with all of you, but I'll just pick David here for the moment. In fellowship with David. He and I have camaraderie. We get along. We're fellowship. Because we are in Christ, we're in fellowship with him. All the benefits that he has given, guess who else gets them? I do. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth where? We're in fellowship. In the past, I used to be an enemy of his. Am I an enemy of his anymore? It's because we're in fellowship. We're pals. We get along. And it's all because of him transforming me from a sinner to a saint. We are the called of God. God chose us through the gospel. You chose to believe the message of God's grace, accepted that, and the moment you did that, you are called the called of God. God chose you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now you, because of that, are in fellowship with him. We are companions. I'm a companion with Joey. I'm a companion with his wife. I'm a companion with Mary. I'm a companion with David. With everybody here. All because of Christ. Who are you? Philosophy would teach you, Bob, you are a special person. You are unique in and of yourself. You have good to give to the world. Bob was a sinner. Bob was an enemy of God. I was in complete misery. If I died in my sin, guess what I had to look forward to? This place called hell, and this place later on, which is worse than hell, called the lake of fire. I don't have that worry anymore. Praise God for what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. All right. What else are we? If you would with me, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A lot of this is in order. And I would love to tell you this took forever to put this study together, and it didn't. A lot of these verses I just got out my concordance. Who am I? I just looked at the words, I am. Put it in, and you wouldn't believe this list that came up. That's where a lot of these verses from this study came from, just doing that. All I did was write them down and decided to embellish on it a little bit. It didn't take me long to put this lesson together. It really didn't. It was one of the easiest ones I've ever done. But look at what we have. Look at what we have. All right, that's terrible. I forgot where I was going. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. Well, let's look at verse number 9 first. Let's get the whole idea of the thing. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We know that, of course. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You want to see man's resume? There it is. That's who man is. Not a pretty picture, is it? And such were some of you. Joey, you know that used to be you? Some of that stuff you qualify for. Guess who else was qualified for that? I did. Every sinner conceived on the face of this earth outside of Jesus Christ qualified for that. In sin did my mother conceive me, Psalm 51. You know, they try to give this idea that babies are innocent and pure, and not so much. Because even at conception, you're a sinner. Subject for another day. And such were some of you. That's who I was. But ye are what? Who am I? What happens when you wash? I washed this morning. I washed really good last night. I went deer hunting. Never got a stinking shot off these last 2 days I hunted. Fact is, yesterday morning about 10:30, I saw this ballistic missile run by me. I mean, I just happened at the right time to look down the hill, and there was this deer that went, go on. I waved at it as it went. I never had a chance. Pretty much the same thing happened Monday. I saw, it has nothing to do with this thing, 3 deer the whole day. Guess how many chances I had to pull my gun to my shoulder? Same thing. Right on by. That's all, folks. Last night I got home. What's the point I'm getting at through all that? I washed. I showered. And trust me, you would not have liked it if I didn't. Go take a look at my car. There's mud up the front of that thing. Up my brother has a little hunting cabin. It has a little dirt road going up to it. It doesn't matter how careful you are. When you go up there and that ground's wet, guess what happens to that vehicle? My wife just goes, oh, they know. And guess who was in pretty much the same kind of condition? I washed. I cleansed myself. You're washed. Were you a sinner? Did you need cleaned? Guess what you are? You're cleansed. That blood of Jesus Christ covered and took care of every single solitary sin that you have ever committed, will ever commit. Listen to this bonehead on the radio this morning. It said, those of you who have your King James Bible, and he believes in his King James Bible, but he doesn't understand a thing about it. He said there is no place in that King James Bible that believes in eternal security, because you, through your works, can lose your salvation. And I thought, I about wanted to reach through that radio when I was looking at my lesson this morning about wanted to choke. I'm thinking, you moron. He has no clue. Poor guy. Really. I feel for him. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I don't have a thing to worry about. Go back to the verse. But ye are... If I misspell a word somewhere along the line, forgive me. I'm 60 years old. I have never been able to spell good, never will be able to spell good. nor will I ever be able to talk good. Old hick boy from Hastings, Pennsylvania. You know, I'm sanctified. You know, that word sanctified is where you get the word saint. You're a saint. How good is that? Church I used to belong to used to have this thing where they, like, fairly recently, Pope John Paul II. They took Pope John Paul II, and he was such a good pope in their mind. And in the Catholic doctrine, I would say he was a good pope. Lost, but good pope. And by his good deeds, after he's dead, has to, through, after he dies, there's a couple of things that supposedly he has to do to prove that he's a saintly person. And the church gets together with all their archbishops and bishops and cardinals, and they declare him to be a saint. That's not how it works. You are sanctified. You are declared holy before God. All because of who? Jesus Christ. You are called sanctified. Who am I? I am called. I am in fellowship. I'm buddies with Christ. All because of Him. I am washed. I am cleansed from all sin. Do I have to worry about sin anymore? What this other guy that I was talking about a short while ago, what he doesn't understand is I got to recognize I'm not a sinner anymore and quit acting like one. Cut it out. Stop it. And I am sanctified. I am declared sanctified. I am totally clean. I am cleansed. Verse 11, but ye are justified. What? There's three in one verse. Remember, Tom Brochet came out with a book a number of years ago, Dictionary of the Gospel. He came up with a definition of that justified man. It is spot on. You're declared righteous. You're justified. God looks at Mary. You're justified. All because of Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary. Eddie, you're justified. Rebecca, you're justified. Bob, in spite of yourself, you're justified. You are declared righteous. You're holy. Remember, I used to sit down and used to go into that old church I talked about a little while ago. And I wanted to go in there, and I sat in that pew, and I looked at that church, and you know what I thought I was? Holy. No. No, I was not. I was a sinner, and I was still in my sin. I was not holy. I was unholy. But God looks at you the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, and He says, Joey, you're justified. You're declared righteous. You're holy to me. That's all because of Jesus Christ. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, these points are attributed to you and I. Who am I? I'm justified. Absolutely, positively, amazing. Again, you notice I'm trying to do this with a little speed involved to it. I hope. I really want to go over as many points as I possibly can. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is not an exhaustive study. Just as I said it was not difficult for me to put this one together, this is not an exhaustive study. I guarantee you there are points that you will no doubt find that I didn't see yet, or that I did see and forgot about to list it. All right? All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27. Now ye are the what? And members in particular. You are members of the body of Christ. Notice who the focus is on. It's focused on Christ. This is who you are. This is what you become. When Christ looks at any one of us, who does he see? He sees Christ. We go back to Galatians 2:20 again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God created a brand new entity that never existed before. This little thing in the mystery program, that's why it's called a mystery. It was secret since the world began, Paul states in Romans 16. He created a brand new entity called the church, the body of Christ. And guess who's a part of it? We are. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a member of the church, the body of Christ. Who am I? Oh, I need to see who I am. I need to take this philosophy class. No, 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 no. Philosophy is the wisdom of man. And it might look like wisdom to the human being's eyes, but in the eyes of the Lord, it's rubbish. It's garbage. It's no good. These points that we're looking at, they are the ones that matter. They are who we are, what we become. Look at Ephesians 3:6. Let's just go there real quick. It would be a shame if I didn't mention this. It ties in with what we just went over here. Ephesians 3, it's been secret since the world began. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, promise in case I was. Body. Sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? We were so to kill us. I'm crucified. Kill me. You're no good. We got to get rid of you. Instead of you, I'll put the Lord of Christ inside you. And let's not forget, the temple of God. Who else is us besides Jesus Christ? Does the Holy Spirit live inside? You want to see where the temple of God is? Hello! Really is this? Appreciate it. Let's look at another one. Go. Isn't he's really the man? Man, when I was in signing for call back in 90 billion at the University of Penn State, that's what one of the class, and it was right by accident, I didn't sign. Philosophy is the intelligent wisdom of man. There's no wisdom. I am a loser. A while ago, probably somebody's me. But your space is special. You have victory. Think about it. The worst thing the world picked. Bread of heathenish. I am. Work for him in the heaven of Satan and all of its. He is in the heaven and pretty. He might look like win, but he's going to lose. Speaking of a loser, okay? He does not have the victory. Christ has it. Guess what? Please. It does. When you try, cast sets earth and earth, new heaven. I am. Number 4, one confession of God. We have the date for this particular role. I. Others. Hello again.
Called the church.
Hi. Straight up in kingdom. Whole thing. Wrong. Tables. Anymore. Always make me say that. When this is a. When you come up over, spoke the word. I think really it's called the Garden of Eden because it was just. The cat's meow, so to speak. You know? There's a day coming. Just like Joey and I pretended we fought and made up and we got reconciled. When all that's going to be, we're reconciled to God. We were Adam and Eve were without sin. They fell in sin, and humanity fell in sin as a result. Every person, with the exception of Jesus Christ, who was ever conceived on this earth, was a sinner. He was not. But because of him, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are restored. Boy, I cannot talk today. That's terrible. Must be that old age thing. I'd like to blame it on the tennis elbow I have in my shoulder. I'm so messed up, I can't even get tennis elbow right. I get it in my shoulder. It makes some people smile. That thing stings, I'm telling you. Mute point. When God, through Jesus Christ, when Christ paid the penalty for my sin, and I trusted in his finished work at Calvary, I was an enemy of God, but I no longer am. Fact is, and we'll probably do this another time, I get to be called a child of God, because I'm not a child of the devil no more. Remember that passage that said, ye are of your father the... That's who used to be my daddy. Guess who's not my daddy no more? Guess who is? I'm reconciled to the Father through the work of the Son. And again, the Holy Spirit gets to go along for the ride. And he's important too. Who seals us to the day of redemption? Where does the Spirit work now? Through what? Through the Word. He's busy. And he was in on the creation of the world, and that's a study for another day too. Oh, I love this next one. Oh, I love all of it. But isn't what we have cool? Second Corinthians 5, verse number 20. Now then, in light of all this, we are what? Ambassadors for who? As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. There's that word reconciled again. Huh. Go figure. We're ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador do? If I'm an ambassador, we'll say for the United States, and I want to go over and I want to talk to somebody from another country. Pick a country, we'll say Canada, just because it's a next door neighbor. And I want to go talk to the people from Canada. I am from the United States of America. I hate those coughs like that. You know, dry. You just get this little tickle in your throat, and it has nothing to do with you, but it just, I sympathize. I know what she's going through. I have that. I have allergies, along with tennis shoulder. Anyway, I'm going to, the President of the United States says, Bob, I want you to go talk to the guys from Canada. I want you to tell them about this. I'm from the United States, and where I go is to Canada. I'm from the United States, I go to Canada. And I tell the Canadian people that the president would like to do this because I'm his ambassador. I'm from the United States, I'm going to Canada. This is what the president would like to do with you. Simplified. I am an ambassador for who? Think back in previous studies. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Wherever Christ is, guess who else is there with him? Me. Doesn't look like it, but I am. Christ is in the heavenly places, seated at the right hand of the Father. Guess who is right there with him? Me. The Father says, through Jesus Christ, hey, you member of the body of Christ, and we'll just say Bob, just because I use that as an example, I want you to go to the world. You represent me. I'm from heaven, and I want you to go to the world, and I want you to represent my message. I want you to talk about this brand new spanking message, which was never before talked about, little thing called the mystery that we talked about just a short while ago. And I want you to propose to the world the message of reconciliation, where we are restored to friendship and fellowship. If you trust in my boy, if you trust in Jesus Christ our Lord, you go out there, you present that message of the mystery, and propose to them that they can become members of this brand new creature called the church, the body of Christ, by trusting in him and what he did at Calvary. So Bob leaves the heavenly realm, comes on this earth, and starts talking. Here's the message of the mystery. Here's a message of the church, the body of Christ. God's offering through the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, by you trusting in him, we're going to give you all these benefits. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm from heaven. I come to this earth and I propose and show the message of the mystery. Isn't that similar to what I was talking about just a short while ago? If I came from Canada and went from the United States and went to Canada and said, this is what we're proposing. God says to me, you're my minister of reconciliation of the word. You are my ambassador. I want you, Bob, to go to this world, and I want you to propose this message. Isn't that message important? That's why I'm an ambassador for Christ. Let's do one more. And we'll maybe look at this another day, another time. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Seems to me this would be the perfect place to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. Wait, just one second. Yep. Let's look at verse 8 first. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what? You know what you and I are? That passage says so much that we've just looked at. Verse 9, that ye know for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich. Was Jesus Christ rich? Oh my. Is God, always has been God, always will be God. He sat at the right hand of the Father. He had everything. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Christ became poor for us. When did he become poor? Remember this little thing called the cross? When he went to Calvary's cross, did he die because of our sin? Did he become poor? Yeah. When he went to Calvary's cross, keep your finger there. Go to Philippians chapter 2. My favorite passage of the scripture. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is the mind of Christ. He's in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew he was God. He wasn't ashamed to admit it. He had no reason to be ashamed to admit it. That's who he was. But made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. You think that was a step down? He's God in heaven, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to equal with God. So what did God do? I want you to go to the world. We got this message that you're going to take to Israel, later on to the church, the body of Christ, which is a mystery, which we'll talk about later, because it's a mystery. I want you to go to this earth, take the form of a man. That'd be like, no. That's worse than if you and I became a bug. Wouldn't it be fun if you and I become a bug? What he went through is worse, beyond measure. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet took upon himself of no reputation and took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. That's bad enough. Then in verse number 8, it gets even worse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of what? He died. The wages of sin is, he took upon him the sin of the whole world. Think that was fair for him? No. Did he deserve that? No. But he took it. Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He took all that ill that he did not deserve. And eventually, as a result of it, there's going to come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even Lucifer himself is going to get down on his knees and grudgingly say, yeah, okay, you're God. And I'm not. But he doesn't get the benefit that you and I have. The benefit is now where we're on this earth. We can accept that finished work of Christ as our Savior and get to go to glory forever. And Satan gets to go to the lake of fire. Jesus Christ was rich, yet it says in that verse that we looked at a little while, he became poor. He took the form of a man and then died for the sin of all man. Did he become poor? That ye through his poverty, all that work that he did at the cross, might become. Are you and I rich now as a result of that? And we sure don't deserve it. The more I look at this world and I turn that radio on when I'm going in that old ship truck and I hear what's going on and I just roll my eyes and I think, what a bunch of numbskulls. That guy I was talking about a little while ago that was a preacher that was talking against eternal security, as much as I joke and say I wanted to reach through the radio and reach a hold of him by the neck and throttle him, my heart broke because I thought, man, have you got the message so screwed up and you're teaching these other people that are believing you're baloney. We're rich, and we don't deserve it. And one day, we will get to experience. I mean, we see it in the Scripture, and we know it's coming. But man, there's a day coming when we quit breathing, we get to go be with Him forever. And again, I say, how cool is that? We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are adopted. We are free. We are called to liberty. We're blessed. We're chosen. We're holy without blame. We're accepted. We're sealed. Saved by His grace. You get the idea. There's more. There's more. And it's all given to us freely by His grace. And there's another benefit, by the way. We have peace with God. We've received the atonement. We have His mind. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, all because of him, and not because of me. Why else would I not want to be an ambassador? Just looking at all these benefits that we have, and we see that we have availed to you and I the opportunity to show other people the same glorious thing that we've been given freely by his grace. Why wouldn't we do it? I'm talking to myself here too, guys and gals. Know what I mean? Because if you think I don't make mistakes, you would be sadly mistaken. You talk to the blonde in the back and she'd tell you. And do me a favor, don't. Let's see what we've been given. We talked a while ago, who am I? World wants to know who they are. We have availed to you and I who exactly we are. And it's beautiful. And it has nothing to do with anything that I've ever done. It's all because of what he's done for me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's be the ambassador for Christ that we should be. And understand, the world's not, 99% of the world probably isn't going to take it. But every once in a while, one falls through the cracks. And there's one more to serve the Lord. Isn't that how you got saved? It's how I got saved. There was one day somebody, sitting in the back, same blonde I was talking about a little while ago, was kind enough to share with this old numbskull the message of God's grace. And it finally sunk in. And as a result, I get to reap the benefits. Now it's my turn to go out and give the message of God to the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time we have again to study your word. As we take that time, we are certainly appreciative of everything you've done for us. All glory, honor, and respect goes to you. I've had nothing to do with it. It's all because of you, given through us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for that. May we now, in light of that, be the ministers of reconciliation to the world that we should be. And as we would do that, may all honor, all glory, and all respect go to you. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.